I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth, stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ, I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
America, wake up to Jesus. Don't hit the snooze button. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Are you living in a state of grace?
Amen.
The Terry and Jesse Show, two Catholics with PhDs in common sense. You can't study that in any college or university in this country. You either are born with it by God's grace or you don't have it. Terry, are you on duty,
sir? I'm on duty, sir, and I'm willing and able to help people learn about Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And I'll tell you what, Jesse, today is a special edition. We're going to be doing our normal gospel. Got a great line from Sheen. We're going to talk about Bishop Robert Barron. We're going to talk about the breaking news about the new exhortation of the Amazon Senate with Pope Francis. It's going to be a full day, but let's get our Bibles opened up, Jess, to the Gospel of Mark. It's pithy.
Got it.
Pithy
hey, by
again.
The way, you know, somebody asked me, hey, how come you guys, on your bumpers, you guys have soldiers of Christ, soldiers of Christ. What's that all about?
Tell them.
Well, that's in the Bible. I just want to, for that email person that says, how can we have that as our bumpers? He was kind of critical in the email, and he goes, you guys shouldn't be having that. We're the Catholic Church. We're a church of love. And I said, okay, this is why we put those bumpers. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Here's what it says. Take your share of suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier on service, talking about service to Jesus, gets entangled in civilian pursuits. Since his aim, whose aim? The soldier of Christ, is to satisfy the one who enlisted him. Who enlisted us to battle? Jesus did. So that's why we use that bumper, soldiers for Christ. It's right in the Bible. And I don't know about you, but I'm a Bible-believing Roman Catholic Christian.
You see, okay. Jesse, before you read the gospel, I want to acknowledge something. There are people like Father Martin, James Martin, who question the Bible, saying, is it right? See, we actually believe in the Word of God. And so when you have people question things about the Word of God and say, well, I don't know if the Bible is right, it's kind of hard to disagree with them except to say, okay, I've got God's Word and you have your opinion. I'm going with God's Word. Let's talk about God's Word.
Matthew, just to add what you just said.
Yeah, hit me.
Exorcists will actually teach this in theology that anybody who questions God's word, there's a diabolical component to it.
Wow.
It's the demon that doesn't, demons don't want you to believe in God's word, so they will put these thoughts in your mind. Don't believe it, question it, criticize it.
Wow, that makes
That's
sense.
Where we get this whole thing called the historical critical method that comes from Germany.
Yeah.
That's a sign of the diabolical. Don't surrender to God's word like Mary. Mary says, be it done unto me according to thy word. That's Mary.
Amen.
That's Marian spirituality. Satanic spirituality is, that's not true. Don't believe it. Criticize it. That comes from the devil.
Okay, well said. Well said. Let's get to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 24 to 30. Go for it, Jess.
Jesus went off to the district of Tyre. By the way, that's over in north of Israel. That was in Phoenicia. Today's modern day Lebanon. He entered a house and wanted no one to know about it, but he could not escape. Soon a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit, that's a demon, heard about him. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him, Jesus, to drive the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, let the children be fed first. In other words, he's saying, hey, I'm here for the Jews. I'm here to save the lost tribes of the house of Israel. That's what Jesus Christ is saying there in context. And he says, let the children be fed first. That means the Israelites. For it is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs. He's saying, I'm here to save the house of Israel. It's not here for the Gentiles. Okay, that's what he told her right now. She replied and said to him, Lord, even the dogs, that's Gentiles, because that's what the Jews would call Gentiles. Even the dogs under the table eat the children's scraps. In other words, I know we Gentiles are not part of the chosen people, but I believe that you're the Son of God. And I'll eat whatever scraps you want to give me that the Israelites, your chosen people, don't want. I'll eat them off the floor. Then Jesus said to her, for saying this, you may go. The demon has gone out of your daughter. When the woman went home, she found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Another gospel with the demon in it. Just one more. Mark, I mean, Jesse, think about what you're going to say. Because, brother, almost all week for the last couple of weeks, and there's people who say there's no devil.
No devil.
Give me a break. Go ahead, brother.
See, what's going on in today's gospel here is Jesus is showing that he actually came to bring Jews and Gentiles together. So in a lot of these dialogues that he has with Gentile men and Gentile women, he tests their faith. Mm-hmm. He wants to see their commitment. And so he'll say stuff like, you know what? I'm here for the children of Israel. I'm not here to give food to the dogs. To see how the people are going to react. And these people are saying, you know what? I'll take whatever scraps you want to give me, Jesus, Son of God. Whatever you want to give me. I know I'm a Gentile. I know I'm unclean, but whatever you want to give me, that's fine with me. This is Jesus already in the Gospels in his life here on planet Earth, where he's already grafting in, using the words of St. Paul. He's already grafting in and showing us that his gospel, his message, plan of salvation, includes Jews and Gentiles. He wants to bring them into one unified family tree called the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, which is the nation of Israel. As Dr. Scott Hahn says, it's New Testament Israel transformed and perfected in the new covenant. And that's what we see in all these gospels. Jesus Christ, with his conversations with non-Jews, he's testing their faith to see their level of commitment. Then he's bringing them in and saying, you're part of my mission as well. And in fact, Jesus Christ even says in other passages, Terry, mm-hmm. he says that the faith of these Gentiles, specifically the centurion, he goes, I haven't seen faith like this Gentile centurion in all the Jewish, in all of Israel, all of it. Not one Jew has the faith of this Gentile Roman soldier. And so again, that's the plan of Christ, to bring Jew and Gentile together into his body, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, the one true church of Jesus Christ.
Well said. And Jesse, how do we do that? By sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with anyone we meet. And even when people are living in sin, we don't let them wallow in sin. The gospel demands that we share the good news with them and ask them to repent and turn away from sin. That's mercy. So we're going to be talking about mercy a little later. But at this point, Jess, I'd like to bring in the Fulton Sheen train, and I want everybody to get on board. Full Sheen ahead. Here's what Bishop Sheen said that's appropriate for us today. If souls are saved, everything is saved. If souls are not saved, nothing is saved. And I apply that today because, Jesse, we're going to be talking about Bishop Robert Barron. We're going to be talking about Pope Francis's new release of the exhortation on the Amazon Synod. And think of this. Everything we do in the church, everything should be centered around introducing people to Jesus, because all these other issues, abortion, yes, we got to, that's a sinful thing. We got to share that message that you can't be doing that. Fornication, all the commandments, the sacraments. We have to teach people to meet Jesus Christ through his bride, the church. And so I mentioned that if your souls aren't being saved and we're saving everything else, then nothing is saved. So you want to chat a little bit about Bishop Barron's article, Jesse, or what do you want to cover?
Yeah. Let me mention before we get into that also.
Sure.
Today something jumped out at me at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass in the first reading.
Okay.
Jumped right out.
Oh, yeah?
And I said, oh, this is exactly what's happening in the church. Look at what it says here in the first reading. Okay. Mm-hmm. When Solomon was old...
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Sometimes when you get old, you start losing your bearings. I just have to be honest. Sometimes old people lose their orthodox bearings.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart to strange gods, and his heart was not entirely with the Lord his God.
Oh yeah.
As the heart of his father David had been, by adoring Astarte, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Milcom, the idol of the Ammonites, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not follow him unreservedly, as his father David had done. Solomon then built the high place to Chemosh, the idol of Moab, and to Molech, the idol of the Ammonites, on the hill opposite Jerusalem. He did the same for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. What does God say about all this stuff? The Lord, therefore, became angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel. When I heard that this morning at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, I thought about the Pachamama installation.
Yep.
I said, okay, it's the same God. He hasn't changed. Was God happy when he saw that? Not my Bible says.
I don't
says,
think so.
My Bible no says that God was angry with Solomon. I think God was angry when he saw the installation. Then he saw the bishops install an official prayer to Pachamama, the earth goddess from the Amazon. Yeah. And then there's this consistent, from the apologists of the Pachamama, they continue to try to defend the actions of incense being burned, people being prostrate in the Vatican Gardens in front of this idol, this earth goddess idol, which is a demon god in the Amazon, according to Amazonian experts. And you have a Franciscan right there that was prostrate, just like Moses before the burning bush. I read this morning, the Holy Spirit says, this is exactly a parallel of the Pachamama installation. Terry, I'm just going to say, God for the Holy Bible that gives us moral clarity, because I don't have to look to anybody else. I have to see what God's word says and say, okay, I know what offends God. I know what's a violation of the first commandment. And this is very clear to me that people got to start doing some serious repenting in our church.
Absolutely. And when we come back from our break, we're going to talk about Bishop Barron. And he's trying to, he had an interesting article. Well, really, he's trying to kick off a heated online debate last month, introducing something like a mandantum, which is basically saying that you have to have authorization online to do evangelization, which is going to be an interesting topic. But I want to also remind everybody, the Adoramus Conference is coming up soon. If you want to come, which I think you'll really enjoy the Mass and what we're talking on with Father Fessio, just go online to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151, and that way you can reach out. Jesse, you're going to be gone tomorrow, but we have a special program I'm going to have with a doctor on marriage. And also Monday, Jesse, we have a special guest, our former homosexual porn guy who converted back to the Catholic, Joseph Siempre. He'll be interviewed on Monday with Jess Romero. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're too blessed to be stressed. No, yeah. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, both of us would be billionaires, because we know the end of the story. In these times we're living in, you need hope, and we'll give it to you. We'll be right back. We finally did it. We have a Catholic Mental Health Conference on April 25th, 2020, here at the Sacred Heart Chapel with Dr. Luis Sandoval. He's going to be speaking on the basics of mental illness versus what we consider normal. Number one, he's going to go on the basics of mental illness versus what we consider normal. Second hour, depression, anxiety versus oppression and obsession. The third hour, bipolar disorders. Oh my gosh, infestation and possession. He's going to talk on mental health with the spiritual aspect. Number four, talk will be on drug use, altered mental status versus demonic influence. I want to hear that talk. I hope you do too. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151. The date is April 25th, 2020. Be there by calling 877-526-2151. God bless you.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, Call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio. Terry, what's going on with Bishop Barron?
Well, you know, here it is. The Bishop Barron is kicking off this heated online debate last month with a proposal to introduce something like, it's called a mantentum. Basically, it's for those who claim to teach the Catholic faith online, like we do, Jesse. We're laymen. We don't have faculties. We're not priests. We're not deacons, but we're online teaching people about Jesus and his church. Well, he's saying that the bishops affirm that a person who's in teaching within full communion of the church. So basically, they could say if somebody was critical, like let's say I'm critical about a bishop who's not in line with the church, they're going to say, well, that bishop can take you off and say you're not in communion with the Catholic Church, when in fact, he's the guy who's not in communion with the Catholic Church. So there's been a lot of debate, the suggestion that bishops would give their stamp of approval to some Catholic bloggers, and more important, deny it to others, is I think it's terrible and it's wrongheaded. Our bishops have much more important work to do, especially with a flock leaving the Catholic Church, and you're going to worry about people who are trying to teach orthodoxy online. That's my take. I think it's ridiculous.
Terry, talk about missing the forest for the trees in front of you.
Yeah.
The bishops have, they first of all, let's just be honest. I mean, I'm a diehard Catholic.
Sure I am.
I'm a Bible-thumping Roman Catholic Christian, faithful to the magisterium of the church, and faithful to sacred tradition.
Perennial teachings, Jesse.
This crop of bishops has lost their credibility with the faithful.
Of course they have.
There's so much financial corruption amongst this crop of bishops and this current leadership right now, and so much sexual scandal. For it would be like, I don't know, the playground bully who's been, you know, clocking people, popping them in the jaw and stealing their lunch money, to go around and saying, hey, you know what, let's go and give, you know, our pocket change to charity.
Yeah.
Said, are you kidding me? You're the one that's been stealing from all of us by punching us in the jaw.
Yep.
Right now, Terry, this is a bad move. The optics are bad. It's bad for Bishop Barron to be calling from some sort of mandatum against Catholics to basically police Catholics and determine who is Orthodox and who's not. Another thing, there's two other points I'm going to make on this, is that this, first of all, violates the principles of every American called freedom of speech. Now, okay, this sounds to me like censorship. If we deem that you're not Orthodox, we're going to censor you. And here's what's interesting. They've already tried that, and it's failed. The National Catholic Reporter, who was a leftist, a complete modernist Catholic, I don't even want to call it Catholic, a supposed publication. Well, guess what? The U.S. bishops, or at least the local bishop in Kansas, has tried to say that they're not Catholic and try to shut them down. Guess what? I'll be honest with you. They've lost both times that they went up against the National Catholic Distorter, reporter. So if I'm saying, well, Bishop Barron should first of all try to clean a house right there. Let's start off with them, make them an example, and shut them down, who openly promotes dissent and modernism and liberalism and fundamental option theory, moral relativism, seamless garment theory, all the errors post-Vatican II are put out by the NCCR, National Catholic Reporter, and there seems to be silence about them right now.
Well, Jesse, I hope to meet Bishop Barron at the Religious Ed Congress in 2 weeks when that's going on. We talked about that yesterday. And I will ask him that, Bishop, with all this going on, look at all these people that are dissenters from the Catholic Church that are allowed to speak and teach teachers. And you really want to talk about bloggers like me and my brother Jesse? Are you kidding me? What about cleaning up our own house among the bishops? That to me just comes. And Bishop Barron said something to me. I heard on the radio one time, he said, the sign of a corrupt church is a church that's not precise. Well, you know what, Jess?
He needs to follow his word.
We need to follow that advice, because we've got people running around with collars on who aren't even coming close to it's just the opposite of what the Catholic Church teaches. And they have faculties. I don't have faculties. And they continue to have faculties spitting out heresy. And so I just got a little over the top when I saw that. I thought, wow, it's like, I'll give you the example. It's like he's watering the cornfields and the barn is on fire. There the church. Go. Perfect. Okay, I'm done.
Terry, and I'll tell you, St. Paul has a stronger word. When somebody teaches error,
yeah,
he doesn't say, dissent or modernism. You know what St. Paul says? When somebody teaches errors, he says they're teaching doctrines of demons.
So he doesn't dialogue, huh?
No, so he doesn't say, accompany them and walk with your brother from another religion and eat some gelato and dialogue with them. St. Paul says, have nothing to do with them. And St. Paul says that the teachings that go against the Catholic Church's gospel, he calls them doctrines of demons. See, you can always count on Jess Romero to give you a Bible verse, because that's what I'm about. And I'm going to tell you who got me started on this. It was Fulton Sheen and Scott Hahn. Listening to them, I said, these two guys lean on the Bible a lot. I said, you know what? If God ever calls me to be a public speaker, I have to lean on God's word, because everything else can change, as we see.
Top of the food
chain.
But
the only thing that cannot change is God's word. And so at this point, I'm even digging in my heels even more at this point, because again, today's first reading. You got people, talking about, there's nothing happened here. There's no idolatry here in the Pachamama installation. Really? I read today's first reading. I'm not stupid. I've got a brain, and I've got sensus fidei. That means the grace of the sacraments that operate in my soul. Yep. And I can tell when there's idolatry in front of me, and I can read today's first reading, and I can say, yep, that's exactly what happened. People better bust out the sackcloth and ashes in the Vatican and repent.
Jesse, why don't you really tell me what you think, brother? You went to the highest of the food chain, the Word of God, and this is what we're dealing with. And Bishop Barron is basically focusing on some people that are critical in the church. I know who they're talking about. I'll just be frank about it. LifeSite News, Michael Voris, those people who are being
Lepanto
critical.
Lepanto Institute.
Yep, all these guys that are going, hey, this bishop did this bad thing. Wait, we don't want to talk about that. Keep that under the table. No, this is a time right now where clarity needs to be done. And so our bishops, unfortunately, need our prayers. And we do that every Thursday night. This is the day we do it on, because it's the institution of the Holy Eucharist and the priesthood. So if you want to, it sounds like I'm complaining. Join me at 7 o'clock tonight. I'll be on my knees before our Eucharistic King, pleading for graces for our bishops, priests, and the Holy Father, all of my priests in the world. That's what we do, because you know what? Talk is cheap. The supply exceeds the demand. We got to do something and pray, because right now we're in a crisis mode, Jesse. Think about what's going on in the church, and we all go like, what? It's not time to go golfing, Jesse Romero. Are you kidding me? It's time to proclaim Christ's perennial teachings to a world that's desperately in need of it.
Terry, here's the breaking news. Pope Francis released his new exhortation on the Amazon Synod.
Right here. Yep.
Okay, Terry's got it.
Yep.
I read it yesterday. It took a few hours on the internet to read it. And I'll be honest with you. It's a mixed bag.
Yep.
Okay. Here's the way I would best define it. I'll take the words of Father Skillebeck, who was a modernist at Vatican II. He said the documents of Vatican II were written in such a way as to be ambiguous as to be able to be translated in both manners, in a traditional sense and a progressive sense. Here's what we see here, Terry, in this document. Okay. It's up now. A lot of progressives are not real happy because they didn't get exactly what they wanted. But the argument is that it does leave ample room, because some of the things were not dealt with entirely, like Pope John Paul II dealt with the issue of priestly ordination. It was a thunderous statement that he made. We don't have any thunderous statements here closing off some of the modernist revolutionary agenda. And what we're seeing right here, Terry, again, going on the macro view, we're living right now in the Catholic Church. Jeffrey Sachs is an advisor to the Vatican. George Soros. You got these people that are international globalists that are advisors to the Vatican. Why is this all happening? As we go through the document, this is precisely the consequences of Russia not being specifically, notice what I'm saying here, specifically consecrated to Our Lady by name, and lay people being disobedient to the Fatima message by not praying the daily rosary. And she warned that communist Russia will spread her errors all over the world if we didn't heed the messages. We failed to heed the messages. Now we're paying the consequences. Communism, Terry, is seeping into the Catholic Church and into American politics. We have the American Democrat Socialist Party, which is basically communism light.
Yeah, Jesse, one statement that says it all. He says, this is Holy, Holy Father, we need to feel outraged about sin. No, he didn't say that, Jesse. He said, we need to feel outraged, he wrote, underlining his concerns that the world has become too indifferent, too numb, or too much in denial about what is happening to the environment, the world, and the people in it. So his position right now, the Holy Father, is that this global warming is a fact, and we need to be able to deal with it. And my concern—
By the way, it's unsettled science.
Of course it is. It's not. But here's my point. Holy Father, while the church is falling apart because of lack of catechesis and clarity, we got thousands of priests leaving the church, nuns are leaving, we got 250 million Catholic lay people that have left since 1965, and we want to talk about global warming? I just ask you with all humility, and I mean this, all humility. For 40 years, I've been trying to evangelize people, and I run into priests, I run into parishes, bishops, who do not support the perennial teachings of the church. Who's going to correct them? I can't. I'm not in management. I'm in sales. You're in management. Would you please, please, Holy Father, answer questions like the Dubia and when you were meeting with Bishop Athanasius Snyder. I don't want to get off the topic, but here's my point. Clarity. Bishop Athanasius Snyder said, Holy Father, you said that all religions are willed by God, and that's just not true. Can you correct that? He says, yeah, no, I won't, but you can correct him. You're right. It's not all of them that are willed by God. Here's my point, Jess. We need his leadership. We need the vigor of Christ to be the unifier. And the way to unify people is to give a sound doctrine and with clarity and charity. And to talk about the environment as a number one problem in the world, it forgets about what Bishop Sheen said. If souls are saved, everything is saved. So I want to ask the Holy Father with all humility to say, let's push our time and energy in our leadership in our church off the environment. I get it. I have solar panels. I take this plastic bottle. I'll recycle it. But let's put our energy. We only have so much breath of air as bishops and priests to share the good news of Jesus Christ and not so much spend time what governments are doing. Like, for example, in America, we've been able to clean up our smog through different types of gasoline, unleaded gasoline. And the other thing I'm going to say too, Jesse, and then I'll throw it back to you, with all of this document, China was not even mentioned. Now, China's the number one country in the world by far who pollutes the world. I'm just going to ask the question, why hasn't anybody from the Vatican tell China, knock it off? You know what I've noticed? We've given China complete freedom to destroy the Catholic Church in China by saying you can run all the bishops, you can do this, you can tell people that they're 18 years or under, they can't go to church, and we've given that approval. I'm sorry, I got a little off. Jesse, we're going to talk about this new release. The bottom line is, let's get back to the fundamentals of the Catholic faith, which
the
is salvation.
Death, judgment, heaven,
please,
hell.
Please. And I'm pleading with you to do this because when I read some of this, some good things in it, but there's some things about mercy that's not mercy. It's fake mercy. And we'll talk about that later in the show. We'll be back with the Terry and Jesse Show with Charity and Clarity.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoremus Society. Adoremus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Carstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoremus at the Triduum.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Clarity with Charity. Terry, I'm going to back you up. Robert Royal, from he's part of the Raymond Arroyo's posse. He said exactly what you just said in the last segment. Here's what he says, quote, Bishop Sanchez Cerrando famously opined after a trip to China. Okay, Bishop Cerrando is one of Pope Francis' right-hand man today in the Vatican. He says, right now, the Chinese are the best in implementing the social doctrine of the Catholic Church. Okay?
Who paid him
now,
that?
Now, Robert Royal says, can someone in his position really not know that China is a world-class polluter, A, B, practices social surveillance, 3, and practices repression on their people like no other nation on earth.
That's right.
D, and is subjecting religious believers to persecution. E, forced re-education. And F, practicing outright martyrdom. Terry?
All the above.
This is China right now that we're very friendly with. Let me, here's some of the bullets that have come out in this, the synod, the apostolic exhortation is called Querida Amazonia. Okay. I speak Spanish, so I can tell you what that means. It means my beloved Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what it means. My beloved Amazon. Now I'll tell you, the usual people that have a lot of courage have spoken out against the working document before it came out.
Oh yeah.
Cause they knew what it contained. Cardinals Walter Brandmuller.
He called it.
Cardinal Gerhard Mueller. Cardinal Raymond Burke. They said that the document, well, they read the working document. They said it's a radical departure from the perennial teachings of the church.
Yep.
And Cardinal Brandmuller condemned it as a heretical and even apostate document. The synod itself has been plunged into controversy almost as soon as the delegates arrived in Rome. And that was thanks to an apparently syncretic ceremony that took place in the Vatican Gardens to kick off the synod. It was on the feast of St. Francis of Assisi. Mm-hmm. And the concerns were that there was a central totem of the synod. There was a representation of a fertility goddess called Pachamama.
Mm-hmm.
And this is consistent with the synod's themes, because the Pope's exhortation, he decries social injustices against the poor in the Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
He decries the ecological crisis while emphasizing forcefully that the church must preach the gospel of Christ to the people of the region. By the way, it seems like the missionaries in the Amazon haven't heard him or don't pay attention to him, because there's one bishop out there that boasts of no conversions or baptisms in 50 years. So there's no preaching of the gospel going on over there. Okay, the Protestants are... I've heard that most of the people out there are Protestant Christians.
Correct.
Former Catholics, very few Catholics left. Most of them are Protestants, because Protestants will open up the Bible and they say, hey, look at John 3:16. Okay. So in the midst of all of this, the exhortation includes a number of controversial passages that have me scratching my head, and changes to church practice that, while framed here for the Amazonian people, as you'll see, this is going to have far more reach. This is going to have further reaching applications, just like communion in the hand. It started in one country and it became international. So here's a couple of things that are specifically written to the Amazonian people, which, by the way, are very few Catholics. Most of them are Protestants because they're saying, hey, these Catholics don't preach the Bible no more. They're done. They talk social justice. We're going with these Baptists who talk about how to get to heaven.
Yeah, it's liberation theology is what they've been practicing, Jess.
Yep. So here's a couple of bullets that are in the document. The document advocates an enculturated liturgy incorporating Amazonian dance and rituals, and mentions in a footnote the idea of establishing an Amazonian liturgical rite. Okay? So I'm sure the people for the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress are going to make a lot of hay about this. They're going to say, see, we've been doing liturgical dancing for 30 years. We're right with the church. This is the spirit of Vatican II. Pope Francis says it's okay in the new document. We were right all along. Second bullet.
He recommends granting lay people former authority of Amazonian parishes and mentions their ability to celebrate certain sacraments, excluding specifically the Holy Eucharist and confession. There you go.
So lay people are going to start being able to perform baptisms, according to the document.
Right.
You don't need a deacon no more.
Nope.
Lay people can do baptisms on Saturdays or whenever they do it. Lay people are going to, apparently, Terry, going to be able to do the sacrament of confirmation.
But, you know, here's the problem. The ambiguity, again, Jesse, it doesn't specifically state those
that they will be.
Yeah, they will be. So we have to kind of throw everything up in the air. And this is.
But it doesn't deny them anymore.
Exactly. And that's my problem with all of this. We need clarity. We can't have ambiguity. And that's the sign of what Pope Francis has done for 7 years. I have to be honest. When they dubia, going back to the dubia, those questions that were asked to him for clarity, he won't answer that. I beg the Holy Father, please don't write an ambiguity, write with clarity so that we actually know, because people have a right to know what the perennial teachings of the church are. And I know the Holy Father can't change that because that's not his role. His role is to confirm us in the faith. And that's what I'm looking for.
Luke chapter 22.
You got it.
Confirm the brethren.
Yep. Let's go to the next.
Here's another point in the document. The document says that women should be given formal positions in the community that include a commission from the bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, that's already in place.
Oh, yeah,
in virtually
for years.
Every parish.
Yeah, of
most of the parishes are run by women. I'm just being an observer, a faithful observer. I'm just reporting to you the status of the church right now. Okay, but now they want to formalize it in this document where the bishop, I guess, would actually install the person. And now, Miss Robinson, you've got the keys to the tabernacle, and you can go there whenever you want, and you train all the army of extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion, which they end up calling themselves, I'm a minister of Holy Communion, and you're now in charge of doing all the mass readings and stuff because I've installed you. Terry, what's going to happen is this is exactly what's called clericalism. This is making lay people little clerics. That's not what Vatican II called for. No council has called for this.
Right.
And there's a separation of clergy and penitent right here, or clergy and lay people. And to me, this is already... This is what I would call the spirit of Vatican II that's confused most people.
Absolutely.
And we see this already happening in most parishes right now.
This next one really bothers me. I'll tell you why. He says he applies a Moris Laetitia approach to the sacraments in the Amazonian way. Okay, here's what he said. I want to read this, folks. He said, the sacraments reveal and communicate God, who is close and to who comes within our healing strength. Okay, fine. He says there's no room in the presence of the poor, the forgotten, in the Amazon region for a discipline that excludes and turns people away, for in that way they end up being discarded by the church and become a toll house. Rather, here's what he says, in such difficult situations of need, the church must be particularly concerned to offer understanding, comfort, acceptance, rather than imposing, here it comes, straight away a set of rules that only lead people to feel judged and abandoned by the very mother called to show them God's mercy. For the church, mercy can become a mere sentimental catchword unless it finds concrete expressions in her pastoral outreach. Jesse, false mercy is to say to people, oh, you're living with your second or third husband? Oh, that's okay. Come on and join us. That's false mercy. The Bible talks about repent and believe in the gospel. And so I didn't see anything in this document about repenting, about turning away from sin and embracing Jesus Christ. And so my concern here is, again, that that's not the full gospel. It's fake mercy to tell people who are living in objective sin that it's okay to receive Holy Communion. And I'll give you an example. Last week in Rome, people that were diplomatic people from Argentina is living with his mistress, and they both came in and received Holy Communion. I mean, it's scandalous to see this. And I'm not in management, I'm in sales. But when I see people tell me, oh, we can't judge people because, you know, who am I to judge? No. The Bible and the Catholic Church for 2,000 years has been saying, we're going to say it in less than 2 weeks, turn away from sin and repent and turn away from sin and receive the gospel, because that's the full gospel. But telling people just to be accepted in their sin, that's fake mercy. And you know what, Jesse? As Father Bill Casey said, the most merciless thing you can do is let someone wallow in their sin. So here's my point. These people have left the Catholic Church because we haven't been proclaiming the gospel. Our Protestant brothers come in, talk about the gospel, the four last things. We talk about, you know, social justice and liberation theology, all that stuff. It doesn't connect. And now we're going to tell people, oh, don't worry about living in mortal sin. Yes, that's what it basically is saying. We still want you to come in and worship with us. Just like yesterday, Jesse, when that young man called in and said, I went to the homosexual booth and asked him, hey, what brought you back into the church? Oh, what brought me back? When I found out that I'm an active homosexual, and they told me I can go receive Holy Communion. And now I'm back in the saddle. And they're like, yeah, see, we got to bring more people like that. You know what? That's baloney. And that's something I can't even say on the air. That's a bunch of baloney. Because what that is, it's fake mercy. Those guys are receiving Holy Communion, living in objective mortal sin. And nobody's willing to tell that young man to repent and turn away from sin and turn to the gospel. That's my concern about this document.
Terry, and I'm going to back you up with the catechism. It seems like if mercy is just something that is handed out in a mors laetitia to anybody without repentance, yeah, examination of conscience, contrition, here's what the catechism says in order for you to receive God's mercy.
Okay.
It says, paragraph 310, reconciliation with God and therefore forgiveness of your sins,
yeah,
reconciliation with the church, recovery, if it has been lost of the state of grace, remission of the eternal punishment merited by mortal sins, and remission, at least in part, of the temporal punishment, which is the consequence of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Peace, serenity of conscience, and spiritual consolation, and an increase of spiritual strength for the struggle of the Christian living. So the Catechism says in 310 that the state of grace is lost by mortal sin, and it merits eternal punishment. I don't see anything about mortal sin or a state of grace in the document. Furthermore, I would say this. Exorcists will tell you that whenever you hear somebody telling you something that's not true, they'll say, that's the talking snake, referring to the Garden of Eden. That's a talking snake. When somebody says, you can receive Holy Communion, you don't have to, you can have mortal sin. Just, you know what? God still loves you. You don't have to repent. Guess what that's called, Terry, in exorcism circles? The talking snake. Well, watch out for that.
The talking snake is alive and well. Unfortunately, we need to ask people to repent and believe in the gospel. We'll be right back. Hello, this is Terry Barber with the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm here with Gil Olivetti. He is the president of the Catholic Men's Fellowship of California. Gil, we got a men's conference coming up.
I appreciate you having me on, Terry, to share about our Rise Up, O Men of God, The Church for You Does Wait Super Saturday Conference, and it's Saturday, March 28th in Covina at Sacred Heart Catholic Church, 344 West Workman Street in Covina, California.
Who are the speakers?
We have some great speakers lined up. We have Steve Ruta, former captain of the LA Fire Department. He's dynamic. Mm-hmm. He's energetic. He will really keep the conference moving. We have Monsignor Tim Nichols, the pastor from St. John Vianney's.
Oh, yeah,
he's dynamic. Mark McElrath, Father Darren Merlino, a trained exorcist. Charlie Eshelman, a past Navy SEAL. We have Deacon Omar Uriati, who is from our parish, St. Louis de Marillac, and Father Joseph Shea.
And I'll be there myself, giving a little plug for Virgin Most Powerful.
You can reach us at catholicmen.org. Tickets are on sale there. Just follow the link. Tickets are on sale at eventbrite.com. Just be sure to get your tickets now till the 31st for $35. and $45 after that till the day of the conference.
Sign up for this men's conference. Call Gil at 626-841-9090.
I'll be sure to answer your call and give you all the information you need for the Rise Up, O Men of God, for you, the Church Does Wait conference. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate your help.
God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us and protect us. Terry, I'm going to be honest with you. Again, in the document, there's no call to repentance and metanoia. So in order for you to receive God's mercy, you got to repent.
Of course.
What is repentance? Repentance is the desire to change. So that's the thought. Metanoia is the action that leads to the change. So here's the difference, or here's the way they work, repentance and metanoia. It's like saying, I need to go on a diet. That's repentance. And metanoia is now you actually change your eating habits. And Terry, there's also something else missing in the document. It's called compunction. Okay? Compunction is the realization that sin has an effect on you.
Yeah.
Okay, you're saying, wow, this sin affects me. It affects my family. It affects the mystical body of Christ. It's affecting the graces that I'm receiving. And my sinful state is inhibiting my ability to see Christ in my brother. And a third thing that we see that is missing in the document is again this entire forgiveness. Unless we are restored through the sacrament of confession, because our soul is healed through the sacraments with a confession, and this is how the grace of God now starts flowing back into our soul. In other words, the grace of God stops flowing in your soul if you're in mortal sin. And if you're receiving Holy Communion in a state of mortal sin, that's another sin that's even worse. It's called a sacrilege.
Jesse, I got 2 points to make. One, I give the Holy Father credit for he rejected reductionism regarding women. He said women should be granted a greater status of participation in the church today if they were admitted to holy orders. He says no. He warns against clericalizing women, thus undermining their unique and special contribution. Thus, he encourages the emergence of other forms of service and charisms that are proper to women and fit the needs of the Amazon. So he's calling not for women's ordination for the diaconate or any of that. So I thank him for that. But here's my big concern, Jesse. You talked about the Pachamama. Well, towards the end of the document, I'm sure you read the last chapter, he says, let's not be quick to describe as superstition or paganism certain religious practices that arise spontaneously from the life of peoples. It is possible to take up an indigenous symbol in some way without necessarily considering it as idolatry.
That's not true.
Not true. A naked woman? I mean, give me a break. A
going
myth,
to breast.
Exactly. A myth charged with spiritual meaning can be used to advantage and not always considered a pagan error. He's referring to the Pachamama. I know that. Some religious festivals have sacred meaning and are occasions for gathering and fraternity, abiding the need of gradual process of purification and maturation. Now, Jesse, he says a missionary of souls will try to discover the legitimate needs and concerns that seek an outlet in, at times, imperfect, partial or mistaken religious expressions, and will attempt to respond to them with this enculturated spirituality. Jesse, we found out that hardly anybody's being evangelized, and we want to do this. This has been going on for 50 years there, and it's not working. So, Holy Father, with all due respect, I have no question in my mind, Jesse, that upset our Lord, bringing a pagan idol into Catholic worship.
Got to read the first reading at Mass today.
That's right. So I'm concerned about that because he's trying to say that that's okay, and I can't buy that, Jess.
The first reading at Mass, it was 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 4 to 13.
Right.
1 Kings chapter 11, verses 4 to 13. It couldn't have come at a better day that we're talking about this.
Yeah, it's appropriate.
Terry, this is called syncretism, religious syncretism.
And let's define what syncretism is. One religion is as good as another.
Good as another.
Okay, go ahead.
That's right. And this is also, syncretism is also the mixing of two religions.
Right.
It's allowing different religions to put them together in a big soup bowl and mix them up.
Wrong.
And this is allowing pagan religions to influence our worship of God and the one true religion, which is the Catholic Church.
And also confusion, Jesse.
Absolutely. It breeds confusion. What would St. Paul say about this if he would have saw
it? He's pretty
clear.
Well,
in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31, he saw the Greeks worshiping false gods. He walked in there. He was outnumbered, so he had to watch himself. And he saw that they had all these statues of these false gods. And he says, I see that you guys are religious people. You guys got your Pachamamas out there. Okay. Then St. Paul says, all right, I've seen enough. Then he let them have it. Here's what he said. Acts 17, 30 and 31. He tells the Greeks that have all these Pachamama statues, okay? Zeus, Thor, and Venus. He says, the times of ignorance God overlooked. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. So Paul says, guess what?
It's very clear.
You can't be ignorant anymore. God sent his son into the world to die for our sins. The son of God's going to come back. He's going to judge the world in righteousness. Are you obeying the commandments? And God proved that he's the son by raising him from the dead. He's coming back in judgment. Are you ready? That's what he told the Greeks, Terry.
Awesome. Jesse, I got some good news for all our people in the church today. Especially, I think Pope Francis would love this news. Here at Virgin Most Powerful, we're putting on solar panels. I'm serious.
Oh, okay.
We are putting solar panels, and I'm sure, for the environment benefit. And also, I might add, I pay the electricity bill, folks, and I don't want an electricity bill. But if you feel like you want to help us in that with our solar panels, you're welcome to donate. Just go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Jesse didn't know I was going to say this. Or call me, because I want to thank you personally. 661-972-7872. I got the application from the city. It's like $400 for the application. And now we're going to put solar panels because, again, we're helping the environment, but also it helps us on our economics. But it just makes sense here in Southern California. So talking about the environment, it's not like we're, not against preserving our resources. We should preserve them. But here's the point. What's our priority? Have you heard us talk about falling in love with Jesus Christ? Yes, every day we talk about that. You know why? It's the only thing that really matters. As Bishop Sheen said in our first segment, if souls are saved, everything is saved. If souls aren't saved, nothing is saved. Jesse, talk about global warming on our soul. How does that work, brother?
Yeah, well, there is going to be global warming one day. I agree, but it's going to be caused by Jesus. At the second coming of Christ, it's right in the Bible.
Yep.
It's in, I can flip my Bible. Jesus Christ says when he comes back, he will dissolve planet Earth with fire.
Yep.
Okay? That's called the second coming of Christ. If you don't believe me, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. That's Jesus' global warming. It's called Judgment Day. That's the only thing that I'm worried about. Okay? As far as we know about man-made climate change, it's poor science. It's even worse theology. If you want to know the facts, the United States last year, we had the largest percentage decline in CO2 emissions in the entire world. We beat every country in the decline of CO2 emissions and carbon footprints for the ninth time this century. And we did this even after we left the Paris Accords. The fact of the matter is that the real agenda behind all this global warming stuff, because you have advisors, Jeffrey Sachs, George Soros,
tell us
they're advising
that.
The Vatican.
And who are these people, for those who don't know their
These
name?
Are globalist,
right.
International, yep. Globalist, one world government types. All this anthropocentric, you know, climate change talk. It's all a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Yep.
It's meant to advance a phony science and this evil agenda of what? The real agenda is this. Population control.
You got it.
Population control. We need more contraception. We need more abortion because there's too many people in the planet. And it's these rich people like George Soros and Jeffrey Sachs that are advisors to Bernie Sanders, to a lot of the Democrats running right now, and the Vatican.
Yeah, unfortunately.
These powerful rich men with these social engineering plans, these are the ones that are yammering nonstop on and on, pushing the governments to take action with one goal in mind. How do you end poverty? Hey, simple, by ending the poor. How do you end the poor? You contracept them and abort them out of existence. That's how you crush them under your foot. This whole climate change crowd, it's nothing more than Margaret Sanger and her birth control movement reincarnated. Terry, I'm done.
I hear you, Jesse. I want to recommend a website, the Acton Institute, Father Siriki. He actually has some really good ideas regarding the world and also jobs. Holy Father's concerned about the poor. You know what Father Siriki said from the Acton Institute? He says this: how do you solve a problem? You put people to work. And so his institute has some really good ideas. And I got to say this, Jesse, the last thing I'm going to say is the capitalistic approach to life has put more people into working and out of poverty than any other process. Communism doesn't do it. Socialism doesn't do it. So I think we just got to acknowledge what's working and what's not working. And the last thing I'm going to mention is this. Again, we're using solar panels. We're putting them up on our church and here at the studio. And again, a talk is cheap. The supply extends the demand. I'm saying we're going to go solar, but I need your support. So if you go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org, you want to make a donation, you can do that. Or you can call me on my cell phone. I do take calls anytime. If you have questions or comments about the Catholic faith, for 40 years, I give my number out, 661-972-7872. And I want to pray tonight, anybody in Southern California from 7 to 9, I'll be down on my knees praying for our priests, our bishops, and the Holy Father to lead us with the perennial teachings of the Catholic faith. That's what I pray for each day.
Terry, we need to lean on St. Thomas Aquinas more than ever
time. Yep.
And I'll tell you, when you receive the sacrament without repenting, without compunction.
Well, the Bible condemns you.
Yeah, the Bible condemns that. That's called a mortal sin. That's receiving the Holy Eucharist in an unworthy manner.
Yep.
And this is why it's so important to follow Catholic thought. There's a lot of people right now whose intellect is disordered. Yep. They don't think properly.
Right.
We have to order our intellect. We have to order our faculties so we can think like Christians and not like socialists, not like pagans.
Exactly.
The ordering of the faculties, the intellect, which harnesses the will, is only done by knowing the Word of God in light of 2,000 years of the perennial teachings of the Catholic Church. If you don't lean on that and go to newfangled ideas called modernism, liberation theology, fundamental option theory, seamless garment, what happens, your faculties, your intellect will be disordered. Terry.
Well said. And Jesse, all of that thing above, that's why we try to introduce people with these five stones. And we only got 40 seconds to tell it, but I'll do it quickly. Pray the daily rosary, please, for world peace. Read your Bible every day. Get the confession.
Go to Mass as often as possible.
Possible. And I'll say Eucharistic adoration. And Jesse, what state should we be living in, brother?
Last time I checked, in my God programming system, GPS, live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. And do not be afraid, as St. Father Pio says. Pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayer. I'm out.
We're two evangelical Catholics with PhDs in common sense, and common sense ain't that common. Thanks for all your support here at Virgin Most Powerful. Full sheen ahead.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.